Wow, y'all are quiet. Normally, there's all kinds of buzzing going on. Good morning. You're too far apart, so that's what it is. You got to be closer together to talk. Is that what it is? Wave to across the top. Well, it's good to have you guys here. I know we're under unusual, difficult circumstances, so thank you for being here today. We were going to have a drive-in service, but this is better than the drive-in service because I have preached for, 2 months now to nobody, and then finally four of them moved over here in the center where I have somebody to preach to. So you guys may be in trouble today is all I'm going to say, okay? Announcement-wise, a few things to remember is we are recording services just like we've been doing the last couple of months. We'll continue to do that even into the future. So let people know, maybe there's somebody that was scared to come today, and I understand that. If you don't feel comfortable or have health issues, then by all means, don't put yourself at risk. But anyway, in any event, we will have it recorded, and it'll be available. You can link to it from the church website or my Facebook page or the church Facebook page as well, either of those two places. So encourage folks to go there and make use of that. Obviously, I'd rather have you here where I can see you, but if you can't do that, then by all means, make that available. Now, a few things we're doing differently. I encourage anybody to wear your mask. Now, obviously, I can't because I got to preach, but I'll try not to spit on anybody, okay? The hand sanitizer is in the back. The doors are going to remain open, so you won't have to open and close doors. When it comes to the offering time, we will not pass offering plates as we normally do. You'll see a basket set up back there in the back by the double doors as you go out, so you can deposit your offering and tithes in there if you'll do so. I appreciate that. Now, when we do dismiss today, I'm going to ask if you guys can let the folks in the back go out first. That way you maintain a little bit more distance there. You might say, well, that's really not necessary. Well, hey, I'm trying to keep everybody healthy and safe, so that's probably the best way to do that. The bathrooms are open, and they have been sanitized. So if you need to use those, by all means, do so. If you need to go out, there's a safety team member. Who's outside, Bill? Bill's outside. He can let you in and out and that kind of thing. Vacation Bible School has been pushed back till July. Hopefully we'll be able to do it then. And of course, if we still can't, then we can still cancel if we need to. But if you plan to be a teacher or have any part in VBS, the T-shirts are available for sale. You can let Jennifer know your size, and the costs for the shirts are on the board up there, $12 for most of them, $14 for 2XL and $15 for 3XL. Now, obviously, we're not doing life groups, that is Sunday school classes right now, and we're not doing Wednesday night services, and we're not doing Sunday evening services right now. As things get better and we can do that, then we will start back. But those of you that come to Sunday school know that the classes for life groups tend to be smaller and more intimate, and the risk is greater in that kind of setting. So we'll do that as soon as we can, but can't do that right now. What are the other announcements? Was that all of them? Oh, yes. We've got some more extra masks up here. If you don't have masks and need it, they're on this front pew up here. If you need some, the hand sanitizer is in the back, $5 a squirt. No, I'm kidding. I kid. Miss Edith?
I've got some for four.
Four, okay. Capitalism at work. Miss Edith? Okay. If you see Lysol, grab it. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Mercy. All right, any other announcements? Got a new grandbaby?
Phyllis, too.
Phyllis got, that's right, two new grandbabies. That's right. Hey, that's right, so we're having grandbabies everywhere. Amen, amen. So Prattville had their graduation, their virtual graduation. Marbury's having theirs, tomorrow? Okay, so, all right, and we'll honor seniors in just a little bit. Okay, any other announcements? You guys are mighty quiet.
I'm glad to be back.
Amen. Glad to see you guys. And I'm glad you said that. So let me personally send a thank you to Michael and Greg and Jan and Donald. They met me up here. Yeah. Every week, sometimes late at night, to record the worship services. Somebody say, "Well, why didn't you do them live?" Well, we figured that it's better to record it and go ahead and load it up there so you can download it and view it at your leisure, rather than some churches are doing the live online, but sometimes the live online don't work as advertised. It starts getting, you get bandwidth problems. So we did it that way. So thank you guys for your dedication and faithfulness. Donald's had some frustrations back there with some sound cards, so it hadn't all been easy, but I appreciate the hard work there. And the Easter drive-in service, I think, was great. And we were going to do a drive-in service today, but I think this is even better than that. So any other announcements we need to hear before we get started? Everybody's good. Okay. Well, Kids with a King is going to be different in the sense that I'm not going to call the kids down front. But if the kids need to get a better view, if you need to stand up in a pew, I'll let you do that if you need to see it. We are still talking about the wonders of God's creation, the wonders of God's creation, and we're doing the little experiments. So hopefully this won't blow up. We'll see how this is going to go. We're talking about explosive power today. So the verse of Scripture comes from Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, let's talk about God now, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So is there anything more powerful in the universe than God? No. There's nothing more powerful than God. Absolutely. We'd all say that, I'm sure. Well, can you think, though, for just a moment of some things in creation that God has created that demonstrate to a certain degree the power of God? Because right here, we're told that for since the creation of the world, His, that is God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen. So God is saying in His Word that His creation magnifies Him and gives some idea of the enormity, the magnificence, the power of God. So what's one thing that comes to your mind when you think about creation that might give an inkling to the power of God? Anybody? The wind, okay, hurricanes, tornadoes. I heard a volcano. That was cheating over there because they know what I'm going to do. But lightning, thunder, all those kind of things. Well, we're going to make a volcano today. We're going to make a volcano today. Now, before we get started, kids, let me make a disclaimer here that says, don't do this unsupervised, okay? Don't do this unsupervised. Don't be a mad scientist, okay? Get mom and dad's permission before you do this. Now, you need a container that has 1 cup of water added to it, and it needs to be at least 20 ounces. Now, I chose a Big Mouth jar because I don't want to make too bad a mess up here. But if you had a narrow mouth, it would be more dramatic. I'm just going to say that, okay? So you need that. Now, you've got 1 cup of water in there. You want to add, get your mom's permission, and get, I don't know, do a couple, 3 drops of food coloring in there, you know, because what color is lava? Red, yeah, you want it to be red. All right. And add, now this is that concentrated, so you don't need much. Just a drop or two of dishwashing liquid. That makes it ooey gooey. Dramatic, not traumatic. We wouldn't do anything traumatic. Now, this is sodium bicarbonate, also known as what? Baking soda, that's right. You need 2 tablespoons. Somebody's laughing back there. 2 tablespoons of baking soda and dissolve it real well. Now, when a volcano erupts, what happens? Lava comes out, right? Well, what is the force that makes the lava come out? Lava just doesn't crawl out by itself, does it? You've got pressure that's built up, high temperature and pressure that's built up, and the lava is forced to the surface through cracks in the surface, and as the lava comes out, it builds the volcano. But there's other things, explosive things, that come out from a volcano as well. Now, a lot of you guys are too young, but some of us that are a little bit older remember a volcano called Mount St. Helens that blew its top. Literally, there was a video, and you saw the whole side of the mountain blow off, killed a bunch of people. What caused that? Gas. Trapped gas caused that. As a matter of fact, carbon dioxide, sulfur dioxide, all those gases in there. You guys know where Yellowstone is at? Yellowstone sits on the caldera of a massive, huge volcano. That's why you have the geysers, Old Faithful, and some of those others that come up. And a few years ago, they found several hundred bison dead. What killed the bison? Gas that come up out of one of those geysers, CO2 mostly, that kill the bison. So we are going to evolve CO2, carbon dioxide. So you've already got your water, you've got your food coloring, you've got 2 tablespoons of sodium bicarbonate in there. Now you need 1 cup. 1 cup, you may have to run. Okay. 1 cup of white vinegar. Okay? What do y'all think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen?
I'm glad I'm back here.
What happens when you mix acid in a base? It's going to foam. It's going to make CO2. You ready? Boom! So there is your volcano. Now, volcanoes, thunderstorms, hurricanes, all those kind of things have a lot of power, but none of them really compare to the power of God. So no matter what we face in life, whether it is a pandemic or whether it's anything else you face in life, nothing ever can possibly equal the power of God. Let's remember that, okay? And not only remembering that, let's live like that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your blessing. Thank you for the demonstration of your power, your attributes that you have given us in creation, or knowing that your final revelation is in the person of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us, as your word says, to not be those who try to make excuses, but Father, to see, to hear, to understand, and to respond to your call. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, to me, that looked like an icy. And then when you suck out of the straw and you suck the flavor out and it turns white. So, okay, it is so good to be back. However, I'm about to tell you something, say something that I never thought these words would come out of my mouth. Because of all of this that's going on, and if you have done research, yes, we are able to congregate again. That's awesome. However, one of the most unsafe activities to do is to sing. So I have to ask you, enjoy this worship music internally, in your heart, sing along in your head, hum along, but for your safety and the safety of others, I'm asking us not to actually have congregational singing. Okay? It's killing me to say it, but we're going to get through this, and we can still worship. So we're going to try to provide some awesome worship for you, and now we're going to use this opportunity to throw some other songs at you. We have our little praise team up here in a way. Greg has been awesome. If y'all have done watched the videos, this is a new song that they got that they sent us from the Gettys called "Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death." Hope you enjoy. I will get you to stand in a minute for the next song and sing in your head. But right now, enjoy this as Greg and I sing this.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand. What comes apart from His command, and what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand.
I know you're not actually singing, but stand and actually mentally sing it with us. You know this. His eye is on the sparrow. Let us sing it all.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs of grace to sing, and hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From cares He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know watches.
Now don't sing, but mouth the words.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
All right. You may be seated, Brother Larry.
Thank you. You may be seated. Okay, my main job today is not to make a mess here, or a bigger mess. How about that? The seniors had a very unusual year. I remember back a few years ago when I was a senior in high school. My senior year was the best, probably, of my high school tenure. So I understand a little bit of the sense of loss, losing half, if you will, of your senior year. I'm glad that the virtual graduation at Prattville went so well, and I pray that the one at Marbury as well is received well and does well. Thank you to seniors for you being the leaders on your campus and for what you have done and for the promise of what you will do in the future. Now, you're going to receive all kinds of gifts and all kinds of wisdom from individuals about what you need to do. And all I will add to that list of stuff is that you need to follow Christ wherever He leads. He may lead you in some unusual places that you never thought you would go. But if you are following Him, you will always do well. When you reach the end of your life, you will not measure your success by the degrees you have amassed, by the money in your bank account, or by the accolades of your fellow man. You will only judge the success of your life by hearing Jesus Christ say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Nothing else at that point in time will matter before. So, having said that, I'm going to recognize our seniors. Now, in light of the, normally I'd have you all come up here and stand around and we'd take pictures and everything, but we're not going to do that. I'm not going to shake your hand, but I'm going to have you come up here and receive the gift that the church has for you. And then when you get back to your seat, at the end, I'm going to have all the seniors stand, and then the church is going to pray for you, okay? So this is in the order, I think, that your pictures appear on the banner. As a matter of fact, thank Beth and company for doing the banner. And I thank Jerry for hanging, I believe. So yeah. Thank you, guys. Cassie, come on up. Come on. God bless you. I would hug you, but we won't do that. Okay. Zach.
Yay.
Congratulations. Y'all just need to stand up. Savannah.
Yay.
Congratulations. Kevin, last but not least. Last in the family, anyway. Congratulations. Now to the second set of pictures. Michael, where are you at? You're not sitting with your family. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Congratulations. Kimberly. Congratulations. Garrett. Congratulations. And then we have, go ahead, you can clap, yeah. And then we have one college graduate, Michaela. Engineering graduate, congratulations.
Yes.
So let me ask all the graduates to stand up. Church, you can remain seated. And let's pray for these individuals. Father God, thank you for these. They're not seniors anymore, Father. They're graduates. And we thank you for their faithfulness to you, Lord, for what they have learned over the years. And we pray, Father, that they understand that the amassed knowledge is not what matters. It's the wisdom of God. So I pray, Father, that they have your wisdom in them, and that they will use that wisdom as they go forth from this place, as they go forth from family, as they go forth into the world to do the things that you have planned for them. The best thing we can all do is find your will for us and accomplish that. So, Father, I pray you would give them your wisdom. I pray you would give them your strength, that you would make them bold, that you would give them victory in face of obstacles, in the face of temptation, in the face of whatever they may be assailed by, that you are more than is necessary for them to be victorious, and that they, knowing that, will hold firm and fast to you and be led by your Spirit as they go forth into the world. Father, protect them. Shine your light on their path. Father, thank you for our small portion, Father, in their upbringing and their spiritual knowledge. And Lord, I thank you for the ability and the chance you have given us. And as your church, Lord, help us to continue to pray for them as they go out and do your will. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. I'll get it later. Oh, that's right. We did have one. I'm sorry. We have one more. In memory of Travis, who would be a senior. So, you know, that's one reminder that life at any point in time can be a lot shorter than we think. You know, we all have plans and priorities and situations and things that we want to do, that we plan to do. But the best thing that any of us can ever do is make sure that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that we are walking as close to Him as we can possibly be. Because remember, the measure of life is not in the length of your life. It is in the quality of your life. When you look at a gravestone, you see three things. You see the date of birth, which we have no control over. You see the date of death, which we have little, if any, control over. And you see a small dash. What matters is the dash. What matters is the dash. Not how long you had, but did you live? You see, Jesus came and only spent 33 years on this earth. 33 years. But Scripture tells us that He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Don't ever measure the success of life by the length of days. Measure it by the quality of life. Do you know Jesus Christ? Does He know you? And is He living in your heart and your life? Remember this family? It's got to be a difficult time. And there are others with similar kind of things. We all face death. Everyone. Some earlier than others. Scripture says it's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Life is 100% fatal. Do not seek to never die. I had a friend at work the other day. He was talking about not just this pandemic, but other kinds of stuff. He said people are doing all these things, trying to make sure they don't get sick and they don't die. He said, I understand that, but he said they need to be ready to die. And he's exactly right. Because we will all face death. The problem is a lot of people face death having never lived. Because life is only in the Son, Jesus Christ. Make sure you know Him. Amen. Michael.
All right, you're going to stand one more time, and I said something last time on the end of His Eyes on the Sparrow. Mouth the words, because some of you look so miserable out there as Greg and I are up here singing, and you're just like, so at least mouth the words. Get into it with us.
There's a call, don't ring for the restless ways in the light. Today, send the light, send the light. With golden offering at the cross we lay, send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, send the light, send the light. shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Remain standing as Larry does the candle.
Remember these as we pray.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam.
You may be seated.
And I get to sit behind you and make faces while you preach.
I have to turn around and spit on you from time to time. This is great. I know we don't have as large a crowd as we normally do, and that's okay. It's great to see some faces. Not that I didn't enjoy seeing the four faces that I had, but it was hard to preach to just four individuals. So it's good to have you guys here today. Are you glad to be here?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. So the title of the message today is Jesus and SARS-CoV-2. You might say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, that's the official name of COVID-19, of the virus that is causing the pandemic, a sudden acute respiratory symptom, coronavirus number 2. So what's Jesus got to do with that? Well, we're going to talk about that. First and foremost, we all have, from time to time, faced giants in our life. Amen? Now, giants take all kinds of forms. It could be a pandemic. Yes, it could. This has been the strangest thing I have seen in my lifetime. You know, I have never seen the world stand still, but it just about has. Now, it's beginning to change a little bit now, but for a long time there, it was still. Everything was still. I took Gracie out hiking yesterday, and I realized that it has been February 22nd was the last time I had taken her out hiking, and I could tell based on her activity level that she needed it, and I did too. So we have giants that we face in life. They can be very formidable. They can be seemingly beyond our ability to defeat. As a matter of fact, they can be beyond our ability to defeat them. The giant could be an illness. The giant could be a problem at work. The giant could be a relational issue. The giant can be all kinds of different things. And giants are terrifying, are they not? Giants are imposing. And giants bring a challenge to our faith. Because we've got to, quote unquote, figure out some way to slay this giant, to get away from this giant. Or whatever the case might be. You know, kids have fairy tales, Jack and the Beanstalk, there's a giant in there. And we hear all kinds of things about giant. But there is a message in Scripture about a real living giant. His name is Goliath. And Goliath was a champion of the Philistines. The Philistines were arch enemies of Israel. They came up several times to battle Israel, and the Philistines were a constant menace and a constant thorn in the flesh of the Israelites. Now, Saul was the king of Israel at that time. Now, you may remember that Saul was the king that the people chose. He was not the king that God chose. So Saul and his army arise on a mountaintop. The Philistines array, or a hilltop, really. The Philistines array in battle on the other side. And then something different happened that they were not prepared for, that they were not expecting. A champion, Scripture says, of Philistia walks out, and he is immediately recognizable because he is so huge. Scripture says he's upwards of close to 9 feet tall. He could play on the NBA. This man is so huge that his weapons are beyond what a normal man can wield. Said the shaft of his spear is like a weaver's thing. Goliath is a monster giant of a man. And he comes out and he shouts across the valley to the Israelites. And he says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Rather than have a big battle here, I'm going to stand out here. You pick your champion and your champion come out here and fights me. If your champion kills me, then we'll be your slaves. If I kill your champion, then you will be our slaves. And it's all a done deal. We ain't got to have a big war. We'll just settle it here man to man. Well, a bunch of Israelites jumped up and said, send me, right? Uh-uh. Nobody jumped up and said, send me. Because they saw a giant. They saw a man in armor, a monster in armor. And they looked at him and they said, no way under the sun. I'm not going down there to fight him. He'll kill me. Nobody would go out to fight Goliath. He came out multiple times and made the same challenge, and still nobody comes out to challenge Goliath until a young teenage shepherd boy named what? David made a difference. Now, David was Jesse's young son. He's too old to go to battle. But Jesse sent David to go see about his brothers. Take them food. Check on them. So David comes into the camp one day with some food for his brothers. And he hears Goliath make this challenge. But David is looking at the giant differently than everybody else. David is looking at the giant through the eyes of faith and through a heart that loves God. He sees Goliath in a whole different light than anybody else. And David tells the king, I will go fight Goliath. And they first said, oh no, you can't do that. But finally they said, okay. So they get a bunch of armor and give David a shield. And now you got to have the picture of this, a teenage boy dressed in a man's armor trying to walk around the tent. He probably fell down. And finally David said, I cannot go out there and fight Goliath in this. So he takes all of the armor off. He puts the shield down. Now understand what David is doing. This is everything that man says you gotta have to face the giant. This is everything that man says you gotta have to beat this giant. David sat it all down. Every last piece of it. What did David do? He picked up his sling, a shepherd's sling. Now, it's not like a slingshot like we got. It's not like that. As a kid, I used to think that's what it was. But that's not what it was. It's a little pouch with two leather straps. And you take it, you put the rock in the little pouch, you sling it over your around and around, and you turn loose one side as you throw it. That's the sling, not a slingshot, but that's the sling that David selected, and five smooth stones. And then he went out to face a giant, a man of war, a man whose sole purpose in life was to kill other warriors, a man who towered in height and mass over this scrawny teenage boy. But when David stood to meet Goliath in the valley, Goliath taunts David. Look what David says in verse 37 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Look at that. David said, "The Lord." David didn't say, "Me." David didn't say, "Because I got all this power." David didn't say, "Because I have all this skill." David said, "The Lord, who has already delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Now, what's David talking about? David's talking about all these days that he has been serving as a shepherd, protecting the flock, that lions came against the flock, bears came against the flock, I suspect probably wolves, who knows what other critters or robbers, whatever, came against the flock. And every time David prevailed over them, but David knew it was not he who prevailed, but it was God in him who prevailed. Don't miss this if you don't get anything else. David was looking at the giant through the eyes of faith and through a heart in love with God. And it made all the difference in the giant he was about to face. Graduates, you already faced some giants and you're going to face some more. Some of them are going to be bad. Some of them are going to look like Goliath. Some of them you're going to think, "No way am I ever going to get over this or through this or around this." But let me encourage you to look at those giants the same way David looked at Goliath. Through the eyes of faith, through a heart in love with God. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. Those of you that follow my Facebook page, this was one of the verses of my week that I was reading. "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." Look at that prescription. "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength." What's the focus here? Focus is on God. "My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord." You can call all kinds of help from all kinds of places, but you can never do any better than calling on God. Amen? Amen. Call on God. "So shall I be saved from my enemies." All right, let's keep going. We're going to look at three things today. Three things today. Now, I hadn't preached to a crowd in, 2 months? So, we can stay here all day, right? No. I won't keep you that long. Maybe not. So, the first thing we need to do, because how many of you think that you're going to go through life and never have to face a giant? Raise your hand. Yeah. You're not. You already have. Even young people already face giants. And we're going to face more. They're not going to get less. We're going to face more. The only question is how often and how big. So three things we need to do if we're going to face the giants. First of all, we've got to know God. K-N-O-W. Know God. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. To know God, to truly know God. Friends, it is not enough to know about Jesus. It is not enough to simply be on a church roll. It's not even enough to have gone into the baptismal waters. Now, yes, if you're saved, you need to be baptized. But the baptism doesn't save you. Being on the church roll does not save you. Knowing about God does not get us any higher than Satan, because Satan knows about God. Scripture says that the demons know and tremble. It is not knowing about God. It is not knowing that there is God. It is having a personal relationship with God. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? How many of you know who the president is? I hope you do. How many of you personally know the president? I didn't think so. I know who he is. I know some of his background. I know what he used to do. But I can't get in to see him. Those of you may have heard me before tell the story of a young Union soldier who was distraught because all of his siblings, all his brothers had died in combat, and he was the last son left, and he was worried about his folks, and he was trying to get into the White House to see the president, and nobody would let him in. And he sat out front in despair on one of the benches out in front of the White House, and a young boy came up and asked him what was wrong. And he told the young boy. And the young boy said, "Well, come with me." So he took the little boy's hand, the little boy walked up toward the White House, and at the front gate, the soldiers moved aside, and he walked on in. He walked up the steps to the White House. The two soldiers on guard at the door moved and let them pass. He was flabbergasted. They walked down the hall. The soldiers standing at attention at guard by the Oval Office or whatever it was back then moved aside. And the soldier could not believe it. He walked into the office where the President of the United States was seated. And the little boy ran over and jumped into the lap of his father. So it doesn't matter what you know about somebody. It matters if you know them. I know who the president is, but I don't know him. I can't get in to see him. But I know who Jesus Christ is. He is my Lord and Savior, and I can get in to the throne room of the universe at any time. Amen? I would think facing a giant's a good time to be praying. Amen? Yeah. So we need to know God. Not just about Him, but we need to know Him. We need to know that I'm a sinner. That you're a sinner. That we have messed up. That there is none righteous, no, not one. That our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. That we can't be good enough. We can't be smart enough. We can't be rich enough to get to heaven. We can't steal it. We can't buy it. We can't take it. We cannot get there without Jesus Christ. I must know Him. Not about Him, but I need to know Him to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And know that only Jesus Christ can provide that salvation. You're going to get all kinds of ideas and information and suggestions from individuals as you go through life. One of the first classes I had in college was a general studies class called World Religions. Was taught by Methodist ministers, as a matter of fact. First day of class, there was probably 70 of us in the classroom. First day of class, Dr. Mitchell looked at the guy sitting on the front, on the left. He said, "Who is God? How do you know it? Can you prove it to me?" And he went all the way down. All the way down. Most of the kids were so taken aback, they're just like, "I don't know. I just don't know." The world's going to ask you, who is Jesus Christ to you? Not what does other people say about Him, not what your mom or your dad says about Him, but who do you say He is? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Let me tell you, some of the most heartbreaking times I have had in my ministry, remember I spent the, I don't know what, 10 or 12 years in ministry in youth and children's ministry. And some of the greatest heartaches I ever had was to see kids grow up in church. Grow up in church. Be there most Sundays. Go to retreats. Go to mission trips. Go to all these kind of things. Sing in the youth choir. Go off to college or go off to the military. Go off somewhere and go crazy. And you think, what did I do wrong? Where did I mess up? They knew all the right answers. They did all the right stuff. What happened? I want to tell you what I think happened. What I think happened was that those kids had their parents' faith. They did what they thought was expected of them to fit in. Now, I'm not saying they intentionally thought that out and figured out and did that. But I'm saying, I think really deep down, the faith in Jesus Christ was never their faith. So when they faced the giant, they crumbled. Because they never truly knew Jesus Christ. They knew about Him. They could even do Bible drills. They knew all the kind of stuff. They knew the right words. But they didn't know Jesus in here where it matters. Now you might say that's scary. And yes, it is. Yes, it is. It reinforces how desperately important it is that Jesus be real to you. You're not going to get into heaven because your mother was a good Christian, or your father, or your grandparents. You're not going to get in on anybody else's faith. It's got to be your faith. Scripture says in Ephesians that we are saved by what? Grace, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do not leave this building until you make sure that you do. Because when you reach the end of your life, whether it's tomorrow or 75 years from now, we're all going to face that time. And there will not be a second chance. All of the good intentions in the world, all of the I plan to do this and I plan to do that, will not count. If you do not know Jesus Christ when you leave this world, there will not be another chance. Don't waste the time. Do not waste the time. Every day is a precious gift of God. It is a treasure. Treat it that way. Scripture says, redeem the time because the days are evil. But you don't just have to know God. You see, David knew God. Now, David didn't have the New Testament, but he had the scrolls. He had the law. David meditated. David prayed. In fact, Scripture tells us David was a man after God's own heart. So David knew God. That makes all the difference in the world. Secondly, you've got to trust God. You've got to trust God. What in the world would make a teenage boy pick up a sling and five little stones and step out to face a 9-foot warrior? What in the world would make a teenage boy do that? Only one thing. Trust in God. And it's exactly, people say, well, David was a man of great faith. No, he wasn't. He was not a man of great faith. He was a man of a little bit of faith in a great God. And David did not do anything. This is what I want you to see. David did not do anything different with Goliath than he did every other time he was faced with a problem. That's why it worked. Amen. Do not think that you're going to be going on doing your own thing. I'm going to get back here and spit on you. Do your own stuff. Don't think that you're going to go through life doing your own thing And then all of a sudden, a giant's going to show up, and you're going to miraculously have faith to defeat that giant. It's not going to work. The faith is built day by day. Day by day. David could face Goliath because he had faced lions and bears and who knows what all else he faced day in and day out, and he has seen God over and over again provide protection and salvation for him. As a matter of fact, he said in that verse we looked at the very beginning, he said, God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will do the same thing for the hand of this Philistine. In other words, Goliath, 9 foot tall giant, is no different to God than a bear or a lion. Same God. Same God. Same God.
Amen.
That we serve. That we serve. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. He has, he is, and he will. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is not bound by time nor space. We have trust. We have faith. That means a step out on faith. A step out in faith. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was talking to Kathy about how, and I know you guys probably get tired of me using Gracie, but God really gives me some examples in the way she reacts. Gracie is going to be with me wherever I am, doing whatever I'm doing all the time. She's always going to be there. So, there are places that we have gone that are probably not safe for a dog. But she goes there without hesitation. Why? Because she trusts me. As you go through life, trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. It is a step out kind of faith. It was exemplified in the life of young David, his encounter with Goliath. But not just then, earlier as well. You see, we are saved by grace through faith. Faith, if you will, is the transmission that activates the grace. Do you believe God? Do you trust God? Scripture says, faith of a mustard seed. Y'all know how small a mustard seed is? Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Gosh. So don't strive for big faith. Strive for real faith in a big God. Don't worry about being a man or woman of big faith. Worry about being a man or woman of faith. Little faith in a big God. You see, don't focus on the problem. Don't look at the giant. Look at the power that's available to you in the person of Jesus Christ. So know God, trust God. But there's a third requirement. Follow God. Follow God. It is not simply enough to know. It is not even simply enough to trust. You got to follow. Peter's my man. Now, Peter would be hot-headed and say stuff that'd get him in trouble, wouldn't he? But Peter would jump out of the boat, too. How many other disciples walked on water? Peter, besides Jesus, Peter is the only other person, as far as I know, that has ever walked on water. How did he do that? Because he knew Jesus, because he trusted Jesus, but the third ingredient that only Peter did was, bless his heart, what'd he do? He got out of the boat. He jumped out of the boat. Now, I got a picture of Peter. I don't know if it's right, but I figure, you know, if you're in this boat and Jesus said, come on, you know, you might step over the side and, like, you know, do like that, test the water before you put your other foot. But I bet you Peter didn't do that. I bet you Peter put a hand on the side of the boat and jumped over. He was all in. Follow God. You see, this kind of faith is a lifelong action. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. We're saved once and for all. But following Jesus Christ is a daily activity. Because at any point in time, you may decide you don't want to follow. Now, you say, well, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not saying you would consciously make that decision. But sometimes we get away from Him. Maybe we get tired. Maybe we get sidetracked. And we move a little bit away. And before you know it, we're a little bit further away, a little bit further away. And before you know it, we're a long way away from walking with Christ. We wonder, how in the world did we get over there? One step at a time, one day at a time. It's hard to follow Christ if you're a long way away from Him. You want to be as close as you can. Now, you guys have probably been, this is back before the days of GPS on your phones, but, you know, you had what's called a paper map to follow. And sometimes there wasn't enough paper maps for everybody to have. There's more than one vehicle. So what you did, you gave the person in the first car the paper map. And what everybody else supposed to do? Follow him. There were a lot of red lights run because you didn't want the person that had the map to get away where you couldn't see him. You followed as close as you could possibly follow. Sometimes I think we try to see how far away we can get. I wonder sometimes how people actually manage to fall off the edge of the Grand Canyon. But many of them do it to their death every year. They have signs up everywhere. In some places they have barricades, but they have signs up, don't get, but still people fall off the edge. Why? How do they fall off the edge? Nothing reaches up there and grabs them and throws them off the edge. What do they do? You know what they're doing. What are they doing? Wow, man, that's a long way down there. And they get over right up to the edge to see how far they can get. And what happens? Over the edge they go. Well, some of them may get pushed. I don't know. But, you know, a lot of them, they just get up to the edge, and maybe the ground's soft and it crumbles. Whatever happens. But it's because they wanted to see how close to the edge they could get rather than to see how far away can you stand. Now, I know some individuals, if you're out hiking or hunting or something, and they hear this characteristic rattle, they want to go looking for it, to see it. I want to get away from it. If it's in my way, I'll shoot it. But I'm not going to go hunting for it, because I'm going to leave him alone if he leaves me alone. But some people want to see how close can they get to the danger. I saw a video of a real life person. I don't know how to describe this guy. When the video started, there was an eastern diamondback rattlesnake, and that's the largest viper in the North America, an eastern diamondback rattlesnake inside a terrarium, like a 10-gallon aquarium, inside a terrarium, and that snake was not happy. He was tapping on the glass, and that snake was a big snake, and he was rattling like, now why is a snake rattle? He's saying, get away from me. So the guy's aggravating the snake. And then he picks up the terrarium and he dumps the snake in the floor. At which point the guy's wife or girlfriend, or what she is, she jumps up on the table. She was the only smart one in the house. She jumped up on the table. And the guy bends down to where the snake is at. And you know how the Bear Grylls used to do with snakes? You know, you start doing like that. He did that about twice, and about the second time he did that, that snake tagged him on the hand. And then the guy jumps up and starts ripping and raring and cussing, and I'm saying, you're the fool. The snake was warning you. The snake was telling you, leave me alone. The smart thing would, number one, not to have a rattlesnake in the house anyway. But number two, don't antagonize the rattlesnake. Don't pour him in the floor and don't play with him. That's right. Don't play with him. Don't play with him. And yet we think for some reason that sin, temptation, is okay to do that. That it'll be all right. You gonna rescue me, Donald? Thank you. It's been behaving all these times, and the first Sunday we're going to have a live congregation. It don't work. Ah, super glue. Ah, yes. Okay, so anyway, the point being, the guy, rather than seeing how far away he could stay from the snake, he gets up there and he gets bit. So what we need to do is follow God, not see how far away we can get from God, but see how close we can follow Him. And we need to do it every day. It's not a once a week thing. It's not a once in a blue moon thing. It's not a Christmas, Easter, only other special occasions. It's an everyday thing. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. Not just a sometimes man, but an everyday man after God's own heart. Here's your compass point. Young David demonstrates the formula for victory over COVID-19, over a relationship issue, over a financial issue, over a physical problem. Whatever the giant is, David demonstrates the recipe for victory. To know God, really know God, to trust God, step out on that trust and follow Him. Sometimes God's going to lead you down a path you would not possibly imagine. But if you follow Him, the end result will be oh so worth it. There have been many times in my journeys and adventures in an area that I didn't know that well, that I was following a trail that I thought sure enough that this is not going to be what I want, the trail I want to be on. There's no way this could lead to where I want to be. But if I stay on that trail and follow the guidance, I get to where I want to be. And the reward is worth it. Friends, no matter whether you live a long life by human standards or a short life by human standards, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you live a life dedicated to Jesus Christ, following Jesus Christ. And then, and only then, can you say when you reach that point in your life, victory is mine. David took one rock in the sling and hit Goliath in the only place that he was not protected by armor, right square between the eyes. Now, David was that good a shot, right? No. That rock was divinely directed. Make no mistake about it. David was willing to follow God. What about you today? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you really know Him? Do you trust Him? Really trust Him? And are you following Him? In just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to make a decision. If you've not already chosen Jesus, you're going to have an opportunity to do that. The altar will be open. You can come and pray. If you'd like, I will pray with you if you'd like. I'll put on a mask, and I'll pray with you if you'd like. Whatever decision you need to make, please do not leave this building until you are sure, till you are certain that you know God, that you trust God, and that you are following God. Father, thank you for your word, for, Lord, the recipe for victory you give us in your word. Help us all, Lord, to know you, to trust you, and then to really follow you. Father, we live in difficult times and dark times and uncertain times. You've told us ahead of time that it was going to be that way. But you've also told us that you are the light in the darkness, that you are the peace in the midst of the conflict, that you are life where there was death, and that you're victory where there was defeat. Lord Jesus, your calling, help us to respond, to know you, to trust you, and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand, please? The altar is open. Being here today. I appreciate you doing that. I hope it's enjoyable for you as it was for me. And I didn't keep you that much longer compared to what I could have. We do this, we'll keep refining. And as soon as the governor allows us to, you know, we'll reduce some of the regulations. I know it's a little disconcerting, but it's for your health and for your safety. Please don't forget the offering basket is at the back. John, if you want to stand by it back there. By the door, if you would like to drop your tithes and offerings in there, you can do so. And that way you won't have to touch anything anybody else has touched. And if you will, after I think we're going to sing or closing hymn, you can dismiss. And if you'll dismiss from the back out, that will be better. Thank you guys for being here.